Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, you don't understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year, second-class candy is pretty good.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. The draft is over. Some feel the letdown. Others probably great relief. Enough with the draft. You're kind of in one camp or the other, probably. Nobody seems, you know, pretty even-handed about how much draft coverage there is. It's either not enough or way, way, way too much.
I'm relieved to have the new guys, but I feel sad when it's over.
Me too. Yeah. I've got more in me. I'm guessing our guest feels likewise. Matt Verderam with us, SI.com. A lot of focus on Kansas City, which I guess got some pretty good draft grades. We've just been in here arguing about the merits of draft grades. Matt, that's probably something you've dealt with. I like your tone on Twitter. Like, here are my grades, and they're all right, so don't bother me.
Yeah, look, there's nothing more useless that we do in society than draft grades, maybe with the exception of mock drafts. So, like, the draft itself is incredibly important, but both the immediate reaction to it and everything leading up to it is mostly nonsense. But that's the world we live in.
Yes.
Well, it must have been impossible to avoid, even though you're not in Buffalo or certainly not a Bills fan, Matt, but we've talked a few times, the optics of trading with Kansas City and them taking a receiver, the fastest receiver in the draft as well, if you want it. I was shook by it. I'm almost inclined to Kansas City calls hang up. Don't answer. The call's coming from inside the house. Don't, like, they've got you. But I, you know, the other part of me, the more calm, reasonable part of me goes, well, they got paid off by the Chiefs, who were probably going to get the guy anyway. But what did you make of that on Thursday night? Because it certainly was dramatic for us.
Honestly, other than the Penix selection, which I was just floored by, I think, like most people, the biggest surprise of the draft to me was Buffalo trading with Kansas City. I just was shocked that Buffalo did that. Look, doesn't mean Xavier Worthy is going to make it to the Hall of Fame or even a Pro Bowl. Maybe Xavier Worthy just ends up not being a good player. He's average, and you know, this becomes a footnote in history. But if you're Brandon Bean, that takes some guts. Like, I know he would sit there and say, hey, look, value's value. We weren't going to take the kid there. We felt good about moving back. And that's fine. Like, that's totally realistic. the flip side of that is if these two teams see each other in a playoff game in January and Xavier Worthy's zipping up and down the field, nobody's going to want to hear about moving up 30 spots on day two.
Tell me about it.
That's, to me, the thing. That, like, you could sit there all day and talk about, hey, value this, value that. If that kid ends up being really good for the Chiefs and you're Buffalo and you're sitting there going, maybe we weren't going to select him, fine. But maybe the Niners would have, who took a receiver at 31, mm-hmm. and maybe it would have been Worthy if he was still there. Like, that's the part of it. You know, maybe a team would have traded up and taken Worthy ahead of Kansas City. The Bills ensured that the Chiefs got Worthy. And I think that's the part, if you're a Bills fan, you go, I really hope that kid's not good.
There's so many things to say about it. I am, like, not fazed by it, but you're right that it will – the Bills are a part of his story now, and we'll see what happens. The fact that Kansas City would make the call is interesting to me in the first place, you know, because they would be, well, I guess they weren't afraid of being hung up on, right? Like, we're gonna call Buffalo and see if they'll do this. So there's that. And Matt, my thing, like, the Bills did not get a great return on that trade. It was okay. It was sort of a neutral trade.
Yeah, it was an even trade, I would say.
Yeah, chart-wise. Like, by the charts. But they make the trade from 32 to 33, and they did great in the value charts by that. And they also gave themselves all day Friday to be open to make more moves. That's what I was waiting for, was, okay, well, here's why this all makes sense. They're connected, and there'll be more happening on Friday, and there really wasn't, which to me, from the Bills' standpoint, was disappointing.
You know, I think the trade down from 32 to 33, the Bills have to get immense value there because you're losing the opportunity to use a fifth-year option on the player.
Yep.
You know, once you go out of the first round, there's no more fifth-year option. Then every contract's 4 years, and you're compelled to franchise tag or extend at that point. So, you know, the Bills were able to get that value from the Panthers, and I don't blame them. Leggett goes to Carolina. The Bills got Keon Coleman. Fine. The other part of the draft that surprised me with Bean was that they weren't more aggressive in moving up as they had all those picks on day three. And talking to people around the league, starting from the Senior Bowl and going right up to the draft, not everybody felt the same way, but a lot of people felt like this draft is really, really deep from, like, pick number one to maybe 100 or 125, depending on who you talk to. And then it really fell off. And so I was a little bit surprised that with all that ammunition, that Bean didn't say, hey, you know what, let's package a couple of these picks and move up. Now, I also understand that if you're Brandon Bean, you're looking at the roster saying, we just kind of had an overhaul to some degree this offseason, got rid of a lot of older veteran players who have played here a while. You may want to restock the coverage a little bit. But I just thought with all the ammo that they had, that maybe at some point they would have just pushed forward and said, hey, let's package a couple and get up there before this draft kind of does go off that cliff. But they didn't. They largely either moved back or stayed pat, and it took quite a few players.
Yeah, and specifically, Matt, I was thinking, we left the air Friday right before they picked Keon Coleman, and I thought, like you're saying, a couple of those fives get up into the late third again,
right,
and double dip at receiver. Like, give yourself an extra, you know, you certainly hope Keon Coleman hits, but there's no guarantee of that. And so, you know, you've got all these guys that to us were relatively interchangeable, you know, like Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell and Troy Franklin. And I'm sure the teams had them ranked more specifically, but still, I think one of the thing that stands out to me from the weekend, aside from the sheer terror of trading with the Chiefs on Thursday night, for me, was that they didn't grab a second receiver, considering how needy they appear to be at the position.
Yeah, you know, I thought, and to your point, as the draft went on day two and day three, you know, obviously they got Coleman right away. I thought, you know, like you said, I thought maybe they trade in late into day two and get Roman Wilson before Pittsburgh got him. You know, a kid out of Michigan who really did himself some favors in the pre-draft process. And then even as the draft went on, a guy like Brendan Rice out of USC. Now, look, he's a dart throw, Jerry Rice's son. He went in the seventh round. You may never hear from Brendan Rice again, and it may be like, okay, who cares? That's fine. But, like, Troy Franklin is another guy you'll look at, and you know, you mentioned, like, hey, why not take a shot there? I was surprised. Look, I thought the Bills did well on Cole Bishop. I thought Carter in the third round. fine picks. I'm not going to criticize those selections. But I agree with you. You know, when you look at the receiver room, if Coleman either doesn't work out or just kind of is slow in coming on as the year plays, that is a lot of pressure on Curtis Samuel. It is a lot of pressure on Shakir to go into a bigger role. And I like Shakir. I think he can do it, but a bigger role. That's a lot of relying on Dalton Kincaid to really be like, you're the number one pass catching option. I think you're right. I thought they would bring in another mid-round receiver to go with Coleman.
Now it makes it all the more available to bring up the Chiefs trade, too. There's only one guy. The comp is Coleman versus Worthy. You know, like, they're one, our one, if you will. And the Chiefs go into the season adding Hollywood Brown. That was the number one move on my list for the Bills to make in the offseason. I'm not sure they could have, but, you know, Brown. And you have Diggs traded here and Davis leaves. So the team's in very different. The Chiefs have been through it where kind of middling receivers and they won anyway, which, you know, life is good over there.
So how do you end up feeling about Keon Coleman? In the end, like, as the pick, like, you know, through the process, because there seemed like there was quite a divide of opinion on him. We had guests that loved him, and we had guests that were like, stay away.
Honestly, and I know it doesn't make for great radio, I'm very conflicted on him. On one hand, look, you love the big body, right? And I know last year he wasn't good on contested catches. It was like 33%, but the year prior at Michigan State, he was in the 70%. So I think maybe that's a little bit of a variance thing, but the biggest concern I would have about Coleman, I do have about Coleman, is just when you run a 4.6 as a receiver, you better be an elite route runner, because, like, without any hyperbole, he runs slower in a 40 time than some linebackers. Like, you have to be able to be a technician in your route running. Like, I've seen a lot of people say, well, Jerry Rice ran more than a 4.6. Yeah. First of all, that was 1985. Second of all, he was one of the greatest route runners of all time. Like, Cooper Kupp is a phenomenal route runner. Larry Fitzgerald, who ran, I think, like a 4.62, was a phenomenal route runner. Like, that's – if I'm the Bills and I'm talking to Keon Coleman, the first thing I'm telling this kid is, look, man, first, second, and third, you need to be the best route runner you can possibly be. Because if you had trouble separating from guys on Wake Forest, like, you're going to have problems separating from guys on the Jets. Like, if you're facing Sauce Gardner twice a year, you're going to need to be able to separate. And I think, look, he's going to win his 50-50 balls, and Allen will give him the opportunity to catch those. But my biggest thing is he's got to become a really proficient route runner, or it's just hard at that speed to create separation.
Yeah, and that definitely feels like that will – well, I – project maybe, like, because that seems like a weak link in his game at this point.
Yeah. I think for him, it's going to just be, you know, you've got to bring him along a little bit. And by the way, I think that's the case. Like, a lot of these receivers that were drafted the back end of the first, you know, and we'll include Coleman in that. Like, okay, yeah, Leggett's going to have to play because the Panthers are a tire fire. But if you look at like Pearsall for the Niners, well, Pearsall's got Ayuk and Deebo in front of him. And in Kansas City, depending on what happens with Rashee Rice, if he's suspended to start the year, like, you have Rashee Rice and you have Hollywood Brown, you have Travis Kelce. You know, and even in Buffalo, even with all the upheaval, you know, he doesn't have to come in right away and be unbelievable. You hope Samuel can hold down the fort, and Shakir and Kincaid, and it's enough with the run game. Like, those guys, they typically, even if they end up being really good players, the first half of the rookie year, it's really about assimilating and working out the kinks and understanding how to work yourself open, learning zone concepts that in college you didn't have to worry about because there wasn't as much diversity in the defensive coverages. So I do think that for Coleman, it is going to be a process, and the Bills are going to have to be a little patient with him.
With Matt Verderam here for a few more minutes. So in terms of the receivers, the top three, everybody's top three, I think, all go by pick 9. Not surprising. Were you surprised that a big move up wasn't made at all here, even if it weren't for a receiver? I know there's lots of attempts were made with the quarterbacks in mind, and, you know, a small trade eventually with Minnesota and the Jets. But you did not, like, that by Friday after or Thursday afternoon, Matt, I'm thinking, like, the Bills kind of have the reputation for the trade up, reports growing that teams, you know, in that 7, 8, 9 room were hoping to move out. And when it all happened, I was surprised that nobody made that move. Should I have been?
No, you know, I think it's really hard. You know, if you're in Buffalo's area of the draft, I know they need a receiver. It's a really hard thing to trade that far up to go 19, 20 picks up. I mean, you're talking about, okay, you're going to swap first, then give up a second, then give up next year's first. I mean, that guy better be God at receiver. Because if he's not, and he's just a good receiver, like, that's a bad use of value.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing. You know, I mean, usually if you're going to move up that amount, it's for a quarterback. I mean, typically speaking. Now, I know that, you know, people point to Julio Jones. Okay, and that's fine. And the Browns, of course, were involved in that. And because it's the Browns, Julio Jones went off to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, like, the reality is, I think it's tough. I was surprised that nobody moved up for a quarterback. And to your point, I know Minnesota moved up a spot. But, like, you know, there was a lot of talk in league circles that the Raiders were going to try to get up there and get somebody. They couldn't do it. There was talk about the Pats got a lot of offers for Drake May's slot, but they didn't want to move. I don't necessarily blame them. You have to pick a quarterback or you have no chance. I was surprised Minnesota was as patient as they were, especially when Penix went off the board at 8. I thought that might send a panic through some of these teams. But Minnesota held firm for the most part, got McCarthy, and then look, the Knicks thing, that was the one that I was fascinated with because I think everybody felt going in, look, there's going to be 5 first-rounders. Penix may be going a little later than he did. Bo Nix, there were a lot of people that thought he was like a mid-second-round pick, and Denver didn't have a second-round pick. So it was like, well, are they going to, quote-unquote, reach? Are they going to wait? Are they going to trade back? They ended up just taking him. That's a big gamble. I get it. They don't have a quarterback in there. They got to do something. That is, you're tying yourself to him for at least a couple of years, so it's a big risk.
In Chicago, one of these teams in that mix, okay, well, is Chicago interested in moving out? Not if they could get Odunze, apparently. Like, that was not everybody thought that was what they should do, but, you know, we found out altogether at pick 9, they were up for that. that player, you know, at that value.
Well, I'm based out here in Chicago, and I can tell you, if they had traded out of that pick with Odunze on the board, there would have been a lot of fervor in your corner of the world and talk radio. I mean, because I think most people in Chicago, and I think rightfully so, look at it like, okay, DJ Moore's here. That's great. Keenan Allen might be here for 1 year. He's 32 years old. Like, they need another running mate to pair with this kid. If you're going to go get Caleb Williams, you got to go all in around him. And I think the Bears did the right thing. I had mocked the Dunze to him at 9. I think that was the right move. You could have argued, certainly, they could have taken, you know, an edge rusher like a Dallas Turner. They need somebody to play opposite of Sweat, but they decided to stand pat. Now, look, if they had gotten a Godfather offer, maybe they would have done it. If some team had, like Kansas City or Buffalo or one of those teams from way back in the end of the first round had said, yeah, all right, we'll give you 2 first, I think they probably would have very much considered it. But in the end, look, Odunze goes there. I think if you're the Bears, you're going to be looking at the team now feeling like at least you're going to be interesting. You have this quarterback. You've got all these receivers. You know you're going to run the ball in that system. You have Komet. You've got at least an interesting defense with Eberflus coaching. Like, that is probably the best division in football, especially if McCarthy ends up being halfway decent.
Are you ready to live in a world where Chicago is fun? I'm 52. Yeah. I've never seen it. The only time the Bears have been fun in my lifetime was that music video in 85. That's it.
You know, I got to say, living out here now, I mean, I'm a native New Yorker, but living out here now, I am kind of ready for it because everybody knows what I do for a living. And yeah, I feel like it, like the different various places I go, you know, the gym or pickleball or whatever. And I feel like people always be like, why do the Bears stink? Yeah. Like, well, because you don't have a quarterback. That's why you stink. So, you know, we'll see if Caleb Williams answers prayers. It really, if you want to be honest about it, go back to like Sid Luckman. It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't go back to Sid. Bulldog doesn't even go back to Sid Luckman, I want to say.
And I am
his
old.
Defense.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I don't make it. Hey, Mike mentioned at the very outset here, Matt, that you focused on the Chiefs. We know about Worthy. What about the rest of it for them? Like, how did the rest of their draft go?
Yeah, it was solid. I gave it a B+. I thought, you know, they needed really to address the tackle position. Donovan Smith's still a free agent, and they took Wanya Morris in the third round last year. He played a little bit. He actually played in that Bills regular season game. He was okay. He was up and down, but they needed to address it. They took Sumataye out of BYU, who they liked even as like a potential late first round guy. So they ended up feeling like they got some value there. And then, you know, as the picks went on, they took a, you know, tight end at Wiley out of TCU, who's going to be, you know, kind of an understudy to Kelsey for a few years. We'll see how that develops. They took Jaden Hicks in the fourth round, a safety out of Washington State, who I think of all their latter picks, like after the second round, I think he's probably the one to watch the closest. He's a guy, he checks a lot of, they love versatility. They love guys who can play all over the field. He can do that. He can line up in the slot. He can play up high. He can play in the box. He can kind of play that joker role. Like they'll find a way to get him on the field. They took Kamal Haddon in the corner in the sixth round out of Tennessee, who's a longer guy, press man type corner, which is what Spags likes to do. So I thought they had a good draft. I thought, you know, they had to trade up twice, so I dinged them for that. Instead of giving them in the A-minus range, I think a B-plus is about, you know, right for what they did. I thought it was solid.
And that is full circle as we end on the grades. That's it. I'm ready for more grade hate on the phones. We'll see. Thank you, Matt. Always appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Matt Verderam, SI. The Bills, as you may know, host the Kansas City Chiefs again this year. Maybe twice. Maybe they'll end up hosting them twice or playing them twice.
Like that mattered.
Would you take that right now? Would you take Bills at Chiefs in the playoffs this year right now? Do you need to know what round? Second round.
No. It's too early.
Wait, it's too early in the playoffs, or it's too early for me? Too early in the day? Too early in the offseason? Too early in the playoffs? Which? All three?
All. It's all early.
It's
all
too early
all
for
the
this.
Earlies.
It's too early for this question.
Yeah. I would not want to limit myself to I'm signing up. I'm going there. I know that's a good season, probably. I mean, you're in the playoffs. You're in the second round of the playoffs. I wouldn't want to, no. I don't want to settle for that at this point.
I think I would. I think I would take it.
Coward.
Am I a coward for wanting to say yes to that?
No.
Maybe I am. Well, let's examine. We've got plenty of time. 803-0550. Would you take a Bills at Chiefs second round, divisional round playoff game right now? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Your thoughts on the Bills draft are welcome. We will be back after sports. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.